The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Tuesday edition of the Leach Report. Happy to have you on board with us for an hour of UK sports conversation today on a nice-looking Tuesday. Rain has moved out, so we've got a lot of football to talk about, a lot of excitement that will build, I think, toward the game on Saturday night as Kentucky has a shot to get to 4-0 and 2-0 in the SEC. And I went back and looked today, and the last time I'll recheck this math, but I'm quickly scanning the fact book. The last time Kentucky started 2-0 in the SEC was 1977. So obviously the Florida losing streak had a lot to do with that because they've since 92 they've played Florida early in the year. Not always the first or second game, but most of the time. So that had a lot to do with it. But even before that, you had to go back to 77, I did, to find the last time Kentucky, and that was the 10-1 season where they won their first two conference games, which they'll have a chance to do on Saturday when they take on a very good Mississippi State team. We'll talk about all of that and other things today with our lineup of guests, including Tim Couch. He'll join us a little later, get his thoughts on what he's seeing from his alma mater and QB Terry Wilson. We'll talk to Larry Vaught, per usual, on Tuesdays, and Ben Roberts from the Herald Leader will lead us off here in just a bit. Guest lineup is always presented on the show by Sleep Outfitters. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Physical was a word that came up a lot yesterday in Mark Stoops' weekly news conference. Kentucky's a physical team, and so is Mississippi State. This is going to be a matchup that won't be for the faint of heart on Saturday night. It's going to be an interesting storyline to this game as far as the running backs are concerned. Kylan Hill's been off to a fast start for Mississippi State. Benny Snell just doing what Benny Snell does for Kentucky through his career. Now, after the game on Saturday, Benny was asked about Mississippi State, and he had one of his poorest games as a Wildcat against them last season in Starkville, 7 carries for 18 yards. Previous year, he ran for 128 when Kentucky won here in Lexington. But he was asked about State, and he was complimentary of Mississippi State's defense. But he said he felt he was confident he could run on anybody, and his offense wouldn't be scared of anybody. Kylan Hill, the running back for Mississippi State, put out a tweet with a series of laughing emojis in reference, apparent reference to that. The tweet has subsequently been taken down, but Benny Snell saw it, and many others, and most, if not all of the Wildcats did too. So you've got that little side storyline going on with the two-star running backs for the teams, and it'll, I'm sure, come up in both camps this week. Ultimately, it comes down to not only what they do, but what their respective offensive and defensive lines do for them. And it'll be just one of the storylines to watch unfold as this game plays out on Saturday night. There are a couple of ticket deals that UK has going on. One for teachers that you can find out about at ukathletics.com. And then Keeneland is the game sponsor this week, and they've made it possible to do a ticket price reduction. And so they're looking to fill the place up for Saturday night. I think as of yesterday, last I saw, 44,000 tickets, I think, were out. Mark Stoops said yesterday he was confident BBN will come through, as they always have for his program. I think it'll be if it's not sold out, I think it'll be really close by Saturday night. And I think it'll be a great atmosphere. A couple of other things. Mark Stoops said on the radio show last night that he's doing what he can to make some contacts with people he knows in the NFL to get Austin McGinnis a look with all of these kickers that are struggling in the National Football League, particularly the one in Cleveland. But Minnesota's kicker had a bad day on Sunday. So there are going to be opportunities coming open, and Coach Ortmeier was on with us yesterday. He's got some contacts in the league that he's trying to tap into. Mark Stoops is as well. Meanwhile, Austin McGinnis is, according to Coach Stoops, continuing to work out in hopes of getting another shot. Coach Cal had a scholarship offer, made a scholarship offer yesterday. Oscar Tshiebwe. Again, there'll be a lot of debate about the pronunciation of that name if he finds his way to Kentucky. But if it's not that, it's darn close. And Cal made a scholarship offer yesterday. We'll talk about that with Ben Roberts here in just a bit. And I'm sure many of you saw this, but in case any did not, I'll mention that the four-year-old boy who was struck by a car after the game on Saturday did pass away yesterday. And it was such a sad note to that story. And we certainly pray for his family. Links to the stories that we talk about each day can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We're heading to a break. Ben Roberts from the Herald Leader when we come right back.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Tuesday edition of the Leach Report. We are served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, locations in Hamburg and in the Palomar Center. And we didn't get out there yesterday because of a technical issue, so we're going to be out at the Hamburg location of Wild Eggs on Friday doing the show. Let's get to a call real quick before we bring on Ben Roberts. Terry, what's up?
Yeah, Tom, thanks for taking my call. I tried to get in yesterday because I want to get hold of you. I needed for you to get a message to Coach Stoops, if you could. Saturday, I went to the game, and it was such a blowout. When Gunner came in, I just watched him, and I watched what he did. And I picked up something that the coaching staff probably needs to know. On the plays that Gunner was in, whether it had been 8 through 15, somewhere in there, he had a towel on the side of his pants there. And when it was a pass play, about 5 seconds before the snap, he'd go to that towel to make sure his hands were dry. And then when they had a running play, he wouldn't touch the towel. So I don't know if that's enough sample size to be a pattern, but I would say the staff needs to know that. So when Gunner comes in, somebody else might pick up on that and he'll be tipping his plays. So if you
like
could
a tell and poker. Somebody,
yes, if you let somebody know on the staff know that, I appreciate it.
All right, we'll pass it along.
Thank you. Yeah,
those things do happen sometimes. We'll see if that was the case there. But it's kind of like a tell in poker. Let's go to Ben Roberts from the Lexington Herald Leader, KentuckySports.com. Ben, it is. We'll start on the football side. I want to get some recruiting stuff too, but the excitement I would think should build as this week unfolds to the point where it should be a really good atmosphere on Saturday. And this is one of those big opportunities for Kentucky over the years. They're not going to happen every year until you maybe get the program built to a higher level. But when you're trying to move it up, you're going to have a few moments teed up for you and. If you can crush the drive, so to speak, you can take your program to a higher level, recruiting and everything else. And this is one of those moments, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there could have been a more perfect setup to get a good crowd in there Saturday night. I mean, obviously with breaking the streak down in Florida. And then you come back and you figure it's going to kind of be a little bit of a letdown game Saturday, especially against Murray State. And not only did they win convincingly, which they always haven't in those OVC matchups, but they actually, you know, it was a lot of fun to watch. It was a very entertaining game. You kind of figure they're just kind of going to slog through that and pull out a victory and then move on. But I think anybody who went to the game Saturday, probably saw a lot of exciting stuff. So, yeah, I mean, you're 3-0. You've got the best team you're going to play at home all season. It's a 7:30 game. It's a perfect atmosphere. I'm sure they'll have a lot of recruits in there too. And if they can pull that one out, then yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit for this team.
These are the kinds of opportunities that are big, I think, in recruiting because you're selling the vision and moving this thing to a higher spot and. This is a chance, if you can get this win, to get ranked. I think they would be ranked in both polls, or just barely out of the coaches' poll as it is. They would then start to create a lot of buzz. They get talked about a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think, with this program, you have the facilities now. obviously you have the SEC, and that's something they've been selling since this staff has gotten here. What you don't always have is that game day environment. I mean, some of these kids who go to some of these other big schools get more of that. They get the packed stadiums, no matter who the opponent is. They get the crowd, and if you're coming, you know, to like a Murray State game at noon, you're not seeing that. But this game, I mean, this crowd could, I mean, it should be sold out. I would be surprised if it's not sold out. I think it's a problem if it's not sold out. And not only should it be sold out, I mean, you know, by 7:30, 8 o'clock, these guys should be going nuts in the crowd. And it takes me back to that time when they finally beat South Carolina. And I know Jordan Griffin was on campus, obviously a defensive back for Kentucky. Now was a four-star recruit then, and he committed to Kentucky like an hour. I don't think I'd gotten home yet. I might not have even left the stadium yet. He committed to Kentucky like an hour or two after the game, after the victory. And I think it was just one of those situations where you get so swept up in the moment. Obviously, it was the right decision for him, but that's the kind of thing that you can get off a game like this. If you can get guys in the stadium or just even people watching at home, because again, it's prime time. It's one of the biggest games in that time slot. People are going to be watching everywhere, and this is when you need to make a statement.
Yeah, I remember that game. Kentucky dug out of a big early hole, and Somebody asked Stoops a question on the radio show last night about getting, you know, worried about the team getting too jacked up for all the buildup that it will happen this week. And he said he actually had already talked to him about that yesterday, so he's out in front of that. And this is a team that seems to be, well, this will be a test of it, certainly, but this seems like a team that is pretty even keel and mature.
Yeah, I think so. And then you got guys like Cash Daniel on kind of the other side of the spectrum. And I think he's, you know, following him throughout his high school career. We've seen some of these hype videos so far this season. I think he's a guy who can get up like that and but also stay even keeled, if that makes sense. Stay controlled on the field, but be a guy who pumps his guys up off the field and, you know, when they're going off and on. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is certainly a more mature group. As he's talked about all season, it's a deeper group. If guys make mistakes, if guys get hurt, if guys aren't in the moment, you got other guys right behind them that can make a difference. And we're seeing guys, we saw guys emerge in the Murray game that maybe we didn't even know were on that depth chart. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is the best team he's had. It certainly looks that way. You got a guy like Terry Wilson who's just, I don't know if anybody thought he was going to be this fun to watch this early on. Just across the board, stuff like that. So, it's going to be a big night. It's going to be a big night.
Switch to a little basketball recruiting. You got a new post, just saw it on Twitter about the targets. I think he's writing the story. Cal's got at least 13 different targets that he's focusing in on. One of them got an offer yesterday, Oscar Tshiebwe, or however we're going to ultimately decide to pronounce it. But he is a guy that is West Virginia the main competition there?
Yeah, absolutely. West Virginia has been in on him. He's originally from Congo, and he has only been over here 2 or 3 years. And he's only been in his new high school in Pennsylvania for a couple years. So West Virginia has been on him since the very beginning. I think they were aware of him actually before he came to the United States. So they're in real tight with him. Baylor and Illinois are the other two on his list, but it's going to come down to Kentucky and West Virginia, barring something very surprising. And I like Kentucky's chances. This is a kid who, like you said, he got the offer officially yesterday, but it's been my understanding for the past couple months that he's basically had an offer. He's had a spot in this class if he wants it. And I think now that Kyle's been in there on that visit yesterday, he's bringing Oscar in next weekend for his official visit. I think you're really going to see Kentucky turn it up on him. And I think Cal just fell in love with him toward the end of the July evaluation period. He's a 6'8", 230, 240-pound post player who plays even bigger than that, and just has a nonstop motor, rebounds, has an emerging offensive game. I think he pairs well. They're going to have to get a lot of front court guys in this class or bring in some transfers at the end of the season. I think he pairs well with just about anybody just because of how hard he plays. I think he can fit into a few different roles. So, yeah, I think this, you know, it's not as exciting when he's not the number four, number five recruit in the class, but he's a very, very good player, and I think he should be seen as one of Kentucky's biggest targets moving forward.
And what have you heard about Scotty Lewis's visit last weekend?
Yeah, I was told yesterday it went well. And obviously it went well enough that a lot of people who thought he was basically a done deal to Florida this time last week are not so sure anymore. There was some question even a few days ago whether Scotty would even show up in Lexington after that Florida visit. I think going into these visits, everybody kind of assumed Florida was the leader, and then his friend and teammate Alex Klatsky, whose father ran Scotty's AAU program, he committed to Florida last week, and I think a lot of people thought Scotty might just say, okay, I know where I want to go. I'm not going to see anywhere else. He showed up here Saturday. By all accounts, it went very well. I think he's got a lot to think about now. He's another one who, he's ranked in probably the low teens, which is obviously very, very good. But I think if he were to come to Kentucky and surround himself with some of these other five-star guys, that's probably where he fits best. He's not super far along offensively. That's something that he's been working on his game for the past couple of years. But as a defender, as an off-the-ball guy, he's just been tremendous. And I think he's another one that I think would complement a lot of other UK targets very, very well and be able to do a lot more things in a role like that than maybe opposed to being the man somewhere.
At Ben Roberts HL on Twitter and KentuckySports.com on the web. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
26 after the top of the hour. We'll be right back with Larry Vaught on the Leaf Report served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at TalkRadio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Larry Vaught joins the program from VaughtsNews.com. You can also read him at LEX18.com. And in the football seasons at Kentucky, Larry, there are times that come along where you get a chance for a big moment. It's teed up there for you, and Kentucky has that now. Just talking with Ben Roberts, a lot of things come into play. You certainly generate a lot of buzz, and that's good for recruiting if you can get this win.
Yeah, absolutely right, Tom. And maybe even if you don't get the win, you can still generate a lot of buzz by playing well and just the way that your team performs this week. I don't think it's necessarily a case of all or nothing for Kentucky. I think there's some ways that you could not win the game and it still not be a major blow to the program, because I'm of the belief that Mississippi State and Georgia are the two best teams Kentucky's got left to play, and probably everybody else on the schedule, I think I could make a case that I could see Kentucky having a legitimate chance to win, including even at Texas A&M. But I think Mississippi State and Georgia may be just a step above anybody else they're going to play. Not saying Kentucky couldn't win this week, but I think it's not all or nothing. If you lose this game, the season's not over.
No, I agree. That's the nice thing about this league is there are going to be other chances, too. If you're good, there's plenty of other good teams to show how good you are against. And, Texas A&M on the road would, turn heads. Obviously, you get Georgia here. So you're definitely right about that. Larry Vaught's with us. We're going to continue this conversation in just a moment. We'll talk about Benny Snell and his motivation for this weekend. We'll talk about that when we come right back. It's the Leach Report served up by Wild Eggs.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Larry Vaught with us on this Tuesday edition of the Leach Report. And a couple of news items. Kentucky yesterday said that Quentin Bohanna, Boogie Watson, expected to return after missing the Murray State game with minor injuries. Jamal Peters, one of the better secondary players for Mississippi State, has an injury that, according to Coach Moorhead, will keep him out for this week's game. Larry, you were in the post-game setting, and Benny Snell was talking about Mississippi State, said some respectful things about their defense, also expressed his confidence, and that got a reaction out of Starkville and then a reaction back from Benny, and that's going to be an interesting storyline on Saturday night.
Yeah, Benny, there's been a couple games where Benny had things said about him and he felt a little disrespected, but this was Benny kind of starting the banner going back and forth, but I was okay with it because I think it's just Benny, I think you need to maybe make it clear you aren't going to back down. But I was actually one of the ones there, and I asked him what he remembered about last year's game. And, of course, he told me not much at all, nothing. And then he went through to explain everything that happened with the turnovers, him not getting many carries because they got behind and everything like that. So, obviously, he remembers only getting 18 yards on 7 carries against them. And then he followed that up by saying that it'd be different this year because he could run on any team, any or even an NFL team, and his offensive line was good and going to be ready for the Mississippi State defense. And again, like I said, he said good things about them, but he made it pretty clear that Benny Snell and the Cats were going to run the ball this year. So we'll see how it plays out. But I will say this: if Kentucky's going to have a chance to win the game, I feel pretty confident to say that Benny Snell's got to have more than 18 yards on 7 carries.
Yeah, amen to that. He had 128 2 years ago when they won here in Lexington. And the 7 for 18 that you referenced, I was looking, that's the only game he's had worse was the bowl game where he got the bogus ejection. So he would have, you know, if he had stayed in the bowl game, then pretty sure the game at Starkville last year would have been his worst statistical game as a Wildcat. And, you know, he's writing a little bit of a check for his offensive line there, but I suspect they're fine with that. And, you know, that's certainly a strength against strength. I think Kentucky's O-line against Mississippi State's D-line.
That's exactly right. I think Mississippi State's defensive line, what Tom is giving up 2.5 yards per carry. Now, I'm not sure they have faced a back quite like Benny Snell yet this year, but it's going to be a big matchup, as it usually is against Mississippi State. And as you said, 2 years ago, Kentucky fared very well with Benny running the ball. Last year they took Benny out of the game. And as he said, part of that, in fairness, was that Kentucky got behind and had to change some things that it was doing. And when the game got totally out of hand, I don't think Benny played much in the fourth quarter, may not even have ran the ball in the fourth quarter, if I remember right. But I think this year we'll see a little different. But, again, I'm okay with a Kentucky guy having that kind of confidence going into a game. I know probably coaches aren't, but I'm sure you remember just like I do back, was it 10, 11, 12 years ago now when Dickie Lyons guaranteed that win at Mississippi State and Rich Brooks about lost it and yeah. Ran Dickie every day in practice, and then Dickie went down there and made one of the most spectacular catches I can ever remember in Kentucky football history, and Kentucky won the game. So sometimes what a little spark from one of your players, it can really help you.
Yeah, Dickie had his best day as a Wildcat. I think he had 8 catches for 117, including that one that somebody put out on Twitter this week. I saw it again. Just arguably the most incredible catch a Kentucky player's ever had. And Dickie was the kind of guy that, you know, you're right, Rich got genuinely upset, but at least Dickie was the kind of guy that was going to do his best to, you know, to show up for the fight if he talked a little bit, and I guarantee you Benny Snell's the same kind of player.
That's exactly right. I think it'll be exactly the same kind of thing, that Benny will certainly want to back up what he was saying. And we both know that Benny knew when he said what he did, that word was going to get out there. I mean, he knows from just like at SEC Media Days when he said he was the best running back in the league. He was not going to be surprised that it's out there and others are going to disagree or take exception to it or whatever like that. He's okay with that. Benny knew what he was doing. He was laying that out there. Maybe he's just trying to get in the heads of the Mississippi State defense a little bit. Maybe he's just trying to spark his guys in front of him and let them know that he believed in them, or maybe Benny just didn't care. He was just putting it out there. This is how it's going to be because he had that much confidence in himself and his team this year. But it's going to make for a terrific game Saturday night, I think.
There are guys like Benny, Cash Daniel, Lynn Bowden, as others that come to mind that are, you know, sure you're going to see them very charged up for this game. And yet it's important, and I sense that this team has this kind of maturity to have the balance of the excitement about the opportunity, but not get so amped up that it affects your performance or your focus, or you're too eager to make a play and you overrun something and it creates a big play for the opponent kind of thing. Stoops said last night he already talked to his team about that, so he's out in front of it. But I think that's something that certainly you would think of, and clearly he has thought about it. That's something that would be a concern. But I do sense this is a you know, they've got so many veteran. There's so many of their best players are in the junior and senior class, particularly seniors, that I think they're mature enough to handle that the right way.
I sure hope so. And that's one huge difference, I guess, Tom, between like Kentucky football and Kentucky basketball. Cal's guys have to get used to that big game scenario so much that it just kind of becomes almost routine to them, because it's almost like every game is that way. I'm sure it's the same way with Alabama football. For Kentucky football, you don't quite get this buzz and this feeling all 12 games every season. And you're right, it can overwhelm you, it can overhype you, or it can really inspire you. I still think, going back to, what was it, 2007, when game day came to Kentucky for the Florida game, I think that maybe overhype some of those guys that day. It wasn't that Kentucky didn't play well, but it didn't play as well as what it had been. And sometimes that can just happen to you. But I would rather have that issue and have that problem, because you got such a big game, than to just think, well, you got no chance to win this one. Nobody cares what's going on. So let's hope this group can handle prosperity. They've had a little bit of experience trying to do that. And let's hope they can, and that they can go out and just play their best and see what happens. But again, what Mississippi State has 17 starters back off that team from last year, and boy, that's a bundle of players to have back, especially when you get so many star players like they do back.
And a veteran quarterback, so yeah, they don't have many boxes that go unchecked in the offense, good in the running game. I was looking at stats yesterday, and they're first or second in a bunch of things on both sides of the ball.
I think they're first or second in 9 team stats in the SEC statistics, and that's a pretty overwhelming number. Again, you could say, well, they haven't played great competition, but, I mean, they're still...
But they won at Kansas State, so that's a quality win, certainly.
Yeah, it certainly is. So, and Nick Fitzgerald, I think, is really a special quarterback, and I think you've got to hope you can contain that run and make him have to throw the ball. And maybe that's where guys like Cash Daniel and Jordan Jones, maybe I think they probably have to have huge days, and hopefully can contain Fitzgerald from getting out and really hurting you when he runs the ball. I think he's a good passer, but I think I'd rather see him throwing the ball than I would running it.
Yeah, I would too. Larry, thank you much. We'll see you on Saturday.
All right, Tom.
It's Larry Vaught. You can read him at lex18.com, vaughtsviews.com. We're heading to a break. Tim Couch coming up next on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
It's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. They will cater your tailgate party, your game day watch party. If you've got a business meeting, call 502-609-6061. Groups 8 or more, and it's competitive prices for delivery and setup, too. They can do box lunches for lunches or breakfast. So it is a great way to let somebody else take care of that part of the day, and you can enjoy the company and the games. So Wild Eggs needs to be the place that you go to. Tim Couch joins us now, and former players on all last week, Tim, after the big win at Florida, and asked each one of them about kind of how they watched, or what any stories about the experience of watching the Cats take down the Gators. I heard you say on KSR yesterday you were at the Swamp, so tell me about that.
Yeah, I had a chance to be there, Tom, and it was just a great experience, you know, just to be there to finally see it after 31 years of us, you know, losing against them, and I was part of 3 of those losses, and just to see the way our team performed, you know, especially in that environment, the way they went out, and I really thought we just dominated the game. I thought we dominated the game last year at home, but obviously, you know, we had some mental errors and ended up losing that game by a point, but just the way we dominated them on both sides of the ball, the way we were able to run the football, the way Terry played and his first road start in the SEC, throwing the ball, making big plays, and obviously what he did with his legs as well was just it was great to see. And you know, for all former players, I know we were very excited to finally get that victory and get you know, kind of break that streak, and hopefully we can start our own streak now.
I would imagine you probably heard from some of your teammates that night.
Got a lot of text messages. Yeah. Got a lot of text messages, and you know, everyone was super excited, and you know, I think everyone's excited about this year's team. Just you know, I think the talent level we have is very obvious. I think it's the most talented roster we've had from top to bottom in a very long time. You know, and you know, we've got speed all over the field. We've got size. We've got depth. And, you know, so I think it's going to be a very exciting year for us. So, you know, all the former players that I've had a chance to talk to see the same thing. And, you know, we're all very excited about the possibilities for the season.
Sure, this is what you envisioned. Because when you were involved, Mitch asked you to be involved in the process of looking for the next football coach. And so you were somebody he consulted, and you got to meet Mark Stoops early on. And I remember he had his very detailed plan for what he wanted to do here. And it's got to be fun as somebody who was involved with it at that level to see it coming together now the way it is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tom. It's really cool to see where it's at now. And, you know, just talking to Mark back then during that process and him kind of laying out his plan and his vision for this program and where he saw it going and how he was going to attack it in recruiting and, you know, really going after the state of Ohio and recruiting, the state of Florida. You know, just his vision, you know, the upgrade to the facilities, to the stadium, the new football building, all those things that he was saying in that initial meeting that we had with him, and just to see that he's actually accomplished those things and even more. And now all those things that he said are starting to result in, you know, wins on the field. And, you know, that's what it's all about. And it's just great to see that, you know, Kentucky's putting the effort, the time, the money into our football program and trying to build a consistent winner and giving Mark all the necessary resources he needs to go out and compete in this conference. And, you know, Mark's taking advantage of it and getting the guys in here that we need to be able to compete. And, you know, like I said, we're starting to win some games, and I just see it, you know, continue going in that direction.
What is the most impressive aspect or aspects about this team to you as you watch them?
You know, I think it's just the overall, just the look of the team. You know, they look like SEC football players now from top to bottom. You know, I think when just watching the game against Florida, used to, you know, in years past, we would walk out on the field against Florida and we looked so outmanned. You know, they looked bigger than us. They looked faster than us. They were stronger than us. And now it's just the exact opposite. Our players match up with those guys, you know, very well. We look just like they do. So we're recruiting a different level of athlete. And, you know, I think that's great to see. And we're finally, you know, on a level playing field with, you know, most of the teams in our conference. And, you know, it's just, it's really neat to see. And just the depth we have, Tom, I think is something that's always been an issue at Kentucky. We've always had a, you know, a pretty good first team unit of guys. But if we had injuries and things like that throughout the season, it was very difficult for us to recover. And, you know, now we got guys that can step in and play, and we really don't lose a whole lot at a lot of positions. So that's really great to see. And that's, the way Coach Stoops and his staff have recruited and the type of players that we have in here now, we can do those kind of things. And, you know, we just look like an SEC football team.
So with Tim Couch, it's at Tim Couch TV on Twitter. Before we get back to the Cats, I do want to ask you about, you did preseason games for the Browns this year on TV up in Cleveland. How'd that go for you? Did you like it?
It went really well. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. It was it was just great to be back around the team again. You know, I hadn't been back up there since I left, and you know, just for them to, you know, to bring me back and get involved with the organization and, you know, calling the games, it was really great to do. I really enjoyed it and had a great crew. Jay Crawford was play-by-play guy, and we had Bernie Kosar down on the sideline, and Dustin Fox was down there with Bernie as well. So it was a good crew, and you know, I really enjoyed it. I'm going to do it again next year as well. So it was great to see. And you know, the Browns are an improving team as well. You know, I think they've lost, you know, they tied the first game and lost a heartbreaker against the Saints on Sunday, but you know, they're right in these games, and you know, it's a big improvement from where they've been the last couple of years.
Yeah, it does look like they're certainly finally trending upward too. You need to get them to hire Austin McGinnis.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah, they've they got rid of the kicker that you know, had some issues. They lost the Pittsburgh game on a missed field goal. They missed two field goals and an extra point against the Saints on Sunday, and ended up losing that game by 3 points. So they've made a change of kicker, and you know, hopefully it'll work out for them.
Let's get back to Kentucky and talk about Terry Wilson at quarterback and what you're seeing in improvement from week to week out of him.
Just more poise and more poise in the pocket. I think he's, you know, starting to get a better understanding of the offense and just kind of get more comfortable with the speed of the game. And you know, the first game he came out, and I think he was pressing just a little too much against Central Michigan, trying to make a big play happen and just not really letting the game come to him. He was trying to force the issue a little bit, and which is totally natural for your first start ever. And you know, I think all guys who started in at this level have, you know, made those, you know, same mistakes. And you know, but he really settled in against Florida and played a great game. And I thought he played excellent last week as well. So you know, he just continues to improve week to week. And you know, if he, you know, he can obviously run the football and make plays with his legs. If he can continue to develop as a passer, I think that's the key. You know, he makes the, you know, the big flashy throws all the time, but we just get more consistent, you know, in the short to intermediate passing game. And this offense can really be hard to stop with the way we're able to run the football, the offensive line. And, you know, we're going to have so many one-on-one chances on the outside just, you know, because people have to bring that extra guy in the box to contend with Benny in the running game. So we're going to have big opportunities in the passing game each and every week, and Terry just has to continue to take advantage of those situations.
I would think they ought to get significantly better over the course of the season, barring any severe injuries, because you got a new quarterback, and as, you know, he develops, Lynn Bowden continues to evolve. You know, it's a lot for an opposing defensive coordinator to have to worry about, because you start with Benny Snell.
Yeah, you start with Benny Snell and the way he's able to run the football. And, you know, A.J. Rose, when he comes into the game, he can run it as well. And, you know, then you got to deal with Terry. You know, even if everything's covered and you call the perfect pass coverage, Terry can tuck it. And, you know, we've seen him go 50 yards for a touchdown. We've seen him kill people on the ground. He went for over 100 yards against Florida in the swamp on the ground. So it's a very difficult offense to stop when it's hitting on all cylinders, especially if the passing game is there. You know, we can obviously run the football against anyone, I feel like, but, you know, if Terry is really throwing the football and seeing the field well, going to the right place with the ball and not forcing the issue and giving our receivers a chance to make plays down the field, it's going to be a super difficult offensive stop as we continue to go throughout the season.
You can see things that the average fan doesn't from the quarterback eyes, because you've been in that room and on the field in that spot. What are you, in terms of getting the ball to the right spots, are you seeing that improve from week to week too?
Yeah, I am. I'm really seeing that. I thought in week one he forced the issue quite a bit, like I said earlier. Just, you know, I think he was kind of predetermining, Tom. You know, before he would walk up to the line of scrimmage, I think he was, just throwing it. He was staying on his first read and just kind of throwing it at that guy no matter what. And now we're seeing him get off that first read if it's not there. Come down to his second, third read, find his check down. You know, the things you do as a quarterback and as you develop and start feeling comfortable in the offense, you understand where all your guys are, start to understand coverages a little bit better, and, you know, just you can't predetermine when you walk up to the line. You certainly do have a plan of what you want to do, but, you know, the defense has to dictate where you go with the football. So if you're expecting one coverage and you think you're going to go to a certain place with the ball and they roll covers and give you something else, you have to be able to adjust, you know, during your drop back and find the, find the right guy and get the football to the right spot. So I see him improving in that area each week, and I'm sure he'll continue to develop on that as well.
Thank you, Tim, for the time. See you Saturday.
Okay, thank you, Tom. See you then.
Tim Couch, one of the all-time greats at Kentucky, one of the other all-time greats. Jacob Tammy at tight end, going to be in the Hall of Fame class that gets inducted this weekend. Anthony Davis, Dennis Emery, the longtime tennis coach, and others. So we'll talk more about that as we get closer to the end of the week. Right now, got to get to a break. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs at Lexington. Our friend Chris Dortch from Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook out with his preseason top 25. Kentucky is number one, followed by Kansas, Gonzaga, Duke, Tennessee, Nevada, Virginia, Auburn at 8, Oregon, Michigan State, Mississippi State's 11th. There's six SEC teams in the top 20. See you tomorrow on the Leach Report.
The podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to leachreport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on the Leach Report Radio Network.